Hello, welcome to the Media Report. I'm Richard Adie. We begin with plagiarism. It's a very bad thing, not quite as bad as making stuff up, and nowhere near as bad as out-and-out criminality. But anyone can commit a crime. You don't need to be a journalist to do that. Those qualifications aside, plagiarism is regarded as one of the worst things you can do in journalism. So last month, when Media Watch caught out psychiatrist and Fairfax columnist Dr. Tanvir Ahmed, it had an immediate impact.
In a recent column about narcissism, Dr. Ahmed wrote of
the timeless human desire for attention and admiration.
Actually, most of that phrase, and indeed almost a quarter of that column, was lifted from a five-year-old article in The New Atlantis. Even more came from a four-year-old article in The New York Times. I'm afraid it doesn't look to us as though these examples are uncharacteristic.
Actually, Media Watch discovered quite a few examples, which makes you wonder, how did this happen? Tanvir Ahmed.
I can almost link it to process when I literally moved from printing off documents to collating it with cut and paste. So I suspect it's probably a couple of years.
So is that how you did it? Because I was keen to know how you did it.
Yeah, I think it's literally a case of suddenly putting my research together, collating it through cut and paste. And then having sort of two pages there around which I'd write. And then often I'd still be attributing most of the time. It was literally this case that began partly as complacency, partly with a straight out copy and paste. And I think it was this, there was still a moral dimension. There was definitely a time there where I knew what I was doing was wrong and essentially did it anyway. And the way that would have happened is that I think I lost sight of the magnitude of what I was doing. I think it felt like a fairly minor transgression for me. But I think in terms of my self-audit, I think that's how it happened.
You weren't kidding yourself that it was okay. You knew it wasn't okay, but you did it anyway.
Yeah, and the way I want to try and give an insight into that, one, I think there's definitely, there's just a personal character thing. Look, I think even in medicine...
You're just a bad person, is that what...
No, not quite that. I mean, I think I'm prone to inappropriate shortcuts sometimes. And I think that's happened to me even as a junior doctor. But the difference there is suddenly I'm surrounded by senior colleagues. There's an intense training process. So that is beaten out of me very quickly. So as soon as I may have, you know, gone in some that direction, bang, I was pulled up going, hang on, you can't do this, you need to do this and this. And then there's years of training, examination, etc. So that was thoroughly beaten out of me, I think. But suddenly in this role, in some ways I was never really inducted into a newspaper. I've never worked at a newspaper. I did a very brief stint as a cadet.
You're at SBS
in television. Yeah. So I definitely, you know, I wouldn't say I haven't had experience in journalism. I had, but in some respects, I don't think I've ever been in environments where the all-out taboo of plagiarism was something I'd properly absorbed.
But you don't have to have that spelled out for you. You should just know
that you
should not do that.
Absolutely. Look, absolutely. But at the same time, any social or professional group, there are rules and boundaries, and in some ways, they're continuously reinforced.
The picture that emerged on Media Watch last month was of really massive plagiarism over a considerable period.
Yeah, I think that was slightly overstated. I think some of the things they showed were quite small amounts. There were a few words or lots of self-plagiarism.
There was one article I remember, News Review essay for the Sydney Morning Herald in March. I think they came up with a third of it was other people's work.
Well, I think that's a classic case where literally I was putting together things using lots of copy and paste, writing around it, and it's literally I've lost sight of what I was doing in some respects. It was like, okay, I'll put together this, my research. I was engrossed in the ideas, if you like, but it's almost like I'd completely lost sight of what I was doing, I think. It was, this is where I can't imagine, if I'd had a real sense of what a big transgression this is, I just cannot see why I would do that. I don't think I had a great deal to gain. But I think a lot of it, again, was the process. I was putting it together. It just put me in great danger.
Well, your initial response to Media Watch was, you know, it's not representative of what I do. But then are you saying that you were confronted with how much it was, and you realised that it was representative.
Well, I still don't think, it was still something happening occasionally. It wasn't something that was happening like every time I'd written. It might have been like one in four columns or something like that. But yeah, I think at the extent of it, it was a bit like looking in the mirror and going, oh my God, like I can't believe my practice has declined to this extent. There'd be very little study, I suspect, in how when journalists might go, you know, downhill, if you like, but there's a lot of it in doctors. And that's why when I look back at my journalistic version of myself, in some ways all the study that's gone into doctors and when they're likely to go downhill, I had all those factors, essentially working in complete isolation, having little or no contact with peers, not really pursuing any sort of ongoing education, all of these sort of things. And this has been studied quite thoroughly in medicine. And for that reason, a lot of those things are mandated now for registration. So if I want to re-register as a doctor, I have to show ongoing education. I have to show contact with my peers. And obviously, a big difference in medicine is you have to have proper training and competency. And I think for me, that went to the core, where I think a lot of it for me was almost this a combination of a decline in competency combined with sort of complacency and just outright stupidity, really. But fundamentally, I think it was literally me just becoming really distant from a job and a profession that I felt I was still a part of. But in many respects, I'd lost the skills and I'd lost sight of the rules. And when I look back on it, that's how it felt to me. It's particularly when I watched it, I thought, this is just terrible. Like it was just this deep sense of shame and kind of feeling that, how did it get like this? Something I was genuinely, I took a great deal of pride in, and it was really upsetting, I think. It really did feel like this, just this deep blow, I think.
At any stage when you submitted these articles for publication, did anyone ever say, hang on, I feel I've read this before?
No.
Or anything? No reservations?
No. I mean, I guess it would have been good if they did, but no, nothing like that, no.
So have you any thoughts about how news organisations that publish material from people they don't directly employ could address this issue? Because in America especially, they have had a northern summer of plagiarism. It's been really quite rampant there. There's been story after story of people either copying other people's work or just making stuff up completely. and now in the American news media, particularly in the papers that are still around, they are starting to think about this a bit harder.
Mm.
Have you any thoughts about what we should
be doing? I think there's various types. So one example is, many of the big examples are professional full-time journalists. So I think instilling just the sheer nature of the taboo is critical. Any social or professional group, taboo is critical. You have rules, you have boundaries, you have a set code of practice. Journalism is a funny game because on one level it advocates itself as a profession, but almost anybody can put their hands up and say, hey, I'm a journalist, especially when I compare it to, say, how I'm a doctor or other professions. So how do you police that? In my case, I think I'm a slightly different case where I'm essentially an expert that contributes to the media. So I think there's a unique aspect there where I think many people looked at me and thought, hey, you're smart, you should know the rules.
Mm.
They're self-evident. You know, they're there, you know. And it's happened to me not just in this plagiarism angle. It's happened to me in other areas of where I've dabbled in the media, be it in broadcast, and I've done something wrong. And then people realise, oh, hang on, this guy doesn't actually quite know the full game, if you like. I think for experts, and it's important that experts are involved in the media, but they need a degree of professional development, a bit of care.
All right, so you've written a mea culpa in The Australian. Now you're here. Why? I mean, you could have kept your head down. I know you've had no doubt an unpleasant month or so, but you've got a real day job that's really about helping people. It matters enormously. Why?
Well, absolutely.
Why put your hand up now?
Well, absolutely. I guess, look, this experience has made me think, you know, it forces you to confront, okay, well, why am I even bothering to do this? There's a lot of, you know, personal reflection. Go, how am I a bad person? You know, you have to look in there and think, am I a bad person? And fundamentally, I think I'm not. And I think there's a range of sort of things that made me make a mistake. And as you said, almost become habituated as part of this one aspect of my life that I was doing. And then it made me think, well, why do I bother doing this at all? And in some ways, I think it made it clear to me that, well, actually, it means a lot to me. The writing means a great deal. And I think even
You'd like to you'd like to come back.
Absolutely, like. Absolutely. But maybe I need to do it slightly differently, do it with much more closely tied to my expertise, do it with real purpose rather than being part of, say, a kind of a comment monster that needs to be fed, where I'm kind of feeding this media monster of comment. And already, I must say, that I felt well supported. I felt lots of journalists and doctors too have said, okay, look, you screwed up, but nobody really thinks you need to plagiarise, but, you know, this will take time. You need to steadily write up again, build trust, and that's what I'd like to do, you know, and do it in a humble way with purpose.
Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Richard.
Dr. Tanveer Ahmed is a psychiatrist, but as you heard, he hopes to get back into the writing again. This is the Media Report on RN. You can find out more about everything we do on our homepage. Just go to abc.net.au/radionational. You'll find us there.